We're continuing, and I'm going to finish today by one way or another our discussion of Christ's coming kingdom. It has another name called the millennium, and we note that is not in the Bible. That is Latin for thousand, and so we saw that God has promised a literal thousand-year reign over all of the earth. And I emphasize that. You'll notice with bold down at the bottom of that list. We have, over the past months, been looking at this part of our church doctrinal statement, which said we believe in the imminent return of Christ for his bride, which is the church, which event is referred to as the rapture. And we're going to be looking at that verse again in a few moments. We also believe in these events that will follow the rapture: a tribulation of 7 years, a coming of a personal antichrist during that time, the battle of Armageddon, which will finish those 7 years, and the second advent, or the return of Christ, which is the culmination of 7 years of terrible things that are going to happen on this earth. Literally, billions of people are going to die during the 7 years. Now, you and I can't even wrap our mind around that, can we? There are approximately 7.3 billion people on planet Earth at this moment, and three-fourths of them will die in 7 years. You just can't put your mind around it, but that's what the book of Revelation tells us. And then it comes down to Revelation 20, and we looked at this verse, and I want to read it again. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The second death hath no authority over him. The second death hath no authority over these, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him 1,000 years. That's where we get our term millennium, 1,000. From Matthew we learn, therefore pray in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are asking God to send this kingdom. And before that kingdom, remember, is the 7-year tribulation period. And before the 7-year tribulation period, may be several local wars in the Middle East. The Ezekiel 38-39 battle, we don't know where that fits. And the Psalm 83 battle, we don't know where that fits. And some suggest that it's in a space that follows the rapture, which would give a great setting for those two battles to take place before the actual 7 year starts with a covenant being signed by Antichrist. We talked about the millennium, and we looked at the facts of the millennium, that Jehovah has decreed it. Christ the Messiah has taught it. The scriptures teach it. The psalmist describes it. The angel declared it. The Transfiguration pictured it, the Gospels outline it, the Apostles preach it, and nature longs for it. And that is where we ended. Now something is going to happen when all of this takes place. First of all, we learned it's going to be 1,000 years long, this kingdom of Jesus Christ. Secondly, it is referred to as the restoration of all things. Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And I don't know where you are in your Bible right now. If you've got it open, I haven't told you where to look. But if you want to look at these scriptures, I'm going through them very, very quickly. But the references are there on the screen, and I encourage you, if you can possibly keep up, to flip through your Bible and to look at some of those. Following the closing of the tribulation, we learned that from Joel chapter 2 and verses 23 to 27 and 30 to 32. and Zechariah 12. And we read Zechariah 12 for responsive reading a week or two ago, remember? There's going to be a topographical change. And few people ever talk about that. But I'm going to send you to Isaiah 62, if you don't mind. Isaiah 62. Now, you could go to the book of Ezekiel, and you can read 40 to 48, but we don't have time to do that. So let's look at Isaiah 62. Isaiah 60 to 66 covers this same period of time, and there are different details, one of which you all know by heart, and that is in 65:25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Now, we all read some of that. But Isaiah 62 talks about the future of Jerusalem, and it's going to change from what it is right now. A lot of Jerusalem's going to be destroyed during the tribulation period. But it says, for Zion's sake. Now, Zion is a word that refers to the temple area, to the worship of God, the proper worship of God, Jerusalem. Zion refers to all of that. And when it says we're marching to Zion, that beautiful city of God, and you have all sung that hymn 100 times in your life. Come we that love the Lord. That song, remember? We're marching to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Well, that's in reference to this. And follow as I read. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation is a lamp that burns. This is referring to what God is planning for the 1,000 years. Jerusalem is going to be exalted above all cities in the world. And people from all over the world that have survived the tribulation are going to come and worship God there. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. We're talking about the city of Jerusalem, and we're talking about the new millennial king temple that is going to be built. Now you say, well, where is that found? That's over in Ezekiel, the millennial temple. That temple that is described in Ezekiel has never been built, and it has not been built, but it will be built. Whatever God says is going to happen is going to happen, right? And so God's going to build his temple, and it'll be much nicer than the one that Solomon built, that the one Zerubbabel built, that the one that Herod built, and the one that will be built sometime in the near future that is called the tribulation period temple. This temple that God is going to build is going to be absolutely incredible here on earth. And it says, verse 4, and you shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. Now, there have been times in history when they figured Israel is no more. But guess what, folks? You and I have all lived to see Israel come back to life, haven't we? And prosper politically, agriculturally, militarily, financially. Israel is back in great power and glory and might. And the Muslims hate that. And they're going to do everything they can to destroy that. And God is going to allow them to do some bad, bad things to Israel. But God's going to save a remnant, just like he's going to save a remnant of Christians from around the world. God's going to hide people out in rocks and cliffs and everywhere, and then he's going to send his angels to bring them all together at the end of the tribulation to set up this glorious kingdom. So you'll no longer be called desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, which means married, and your land Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Go down to verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the people. Indeed, the Lord is proclaimed to the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Remember that song we sing? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, do you suppose that God has plans for this millennial kingdom? He sure does. And he's going to change the topography, and you can read that in various places. I have the scriptures there. Then there are types or pictures or patterns, if you please, of the millennium in the Old Testament. The Jubilee year, which is the 50th year. And then the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the last feast of the seven, is a picture of this. Isn't it interesting? Seven feasts, and the last one is a vacation. The last feast, they were to build little booths, little shacks out of branches and boughs, in their backyard or on their rooftop or wherever they could, and they were to hang out for a whole week and have a family vacation. That's a picture of the millennium. That's a picture of the time of rest and blessing that God is going to put on this earth during that 1,000 years. The weekly Sabbath is another picture. 6 days you shall work, the seventh you shall rest. Six feasts, all different kinds, and the seventh was a feast of rest. Solomon's peaceful reign went on for about 40 years, a picture of the millennial kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to finish up this morning with these thoughts, conditions that are going to happen during the millennium. What's going to happen to various aspects? Well, the first question is, what's going to happen to the church during that time? Where's the church going to be? What are they going to be doing? What are you going to be doing? As an individual Christian this morning, what are you going to be doing during the millennium? Isn't that a good question? Sure it is. So what's the answer? Well, first of all, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. Remember, that's what the rapture is. 1 Thessalonians tells us what? We shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Absent from this body, present with the Lord. Now, we already learned that at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, we are going to come back with the Lord, riding on white horses, following him as he comes down and he wipes out, I believe, Mecca, which is the center of worship for Islam. The Bible teaches that. Then he's going to go from there to Basra or to Edom, to what today is probably called Petra, that area, where he's got a bunch of Jews that are hiding out from the Antichrist. From there, he's going to move on up the valley, and he's going to climb up onto the mount that is called Mount of Olives on the eastern side of Jerusalem. He's going to split it. From there, he's going to go north to Megiddo, to the valley of Esdraelon, the valley of Jezreel, where the great armies of the Antichrist had assembled before they attacked Jerusalem. And he's going to straighten out that mess. And then he's going to set up his glorious kingdom. And you and I, we're just going to tag along and watch it all happen. That's what the church is going to be doing. Then we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3 that you and I are going to help him judge the peoples of the world and determine who gets to live and who doesn't. And who gets to set up their own little cities and nations around the world again. Remember, the world is going to be one scrambled, messed up place. Earthquakes are going to happen on a common basis. There's going to be destruction of every kind. And all of this has to be rebuilt. The whole world is going to have to be rebuilt. Can you imagine going back to the 1900s before all of our electronics? We're going to teach those people how to live. We're going to assist them. We're going to be mayors and rulers and governors of the villages and cities of the world that's restored. You learn that when you read from Isaiah, when you read from Ezekiel, when you read from Revelation and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's what's going to happen to you and to me. We're going to have an integral part in this thousand-year reign of Christ. Now you say, wait a minute, I went to heaven. Yeah, guess what heaven did? Revelation chapter 22 says heaven came down. And where's it going to sit? My theory, and you can have your own because it hasn't happened yet, so we all have some different ideas. My idea is that it's going to set with the center of it right over Jerusalem. Now remember how big it is. It's approximately 1,500 miles long. It's approximately 1,500 miles wide. And it's the same high. Now fill that thing full of mansions and apartments and condos of a heavenly nature. And you and I will come and go in and out of it. And so will the kings of the earth, it says over in Revelation. They'll come and go in and out of it. But we'll get to that in just a minute. What's going to happen to Satan during this time? Well, we learn from Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Actually, he's going to be tied up in something called the abyss. Now, I've heard all kinds of explanations about what the abyss is. It means emptiness and darkness. I like to think of it as the smokestack of hell. Now, you've all seen that great, big, huge smokestack over there at the old Gowdy station. Over in Johnson City, south of the mall on the riverbank. That great, huge, high smokestack, which we don't see used very often anymore. But just imagine Satan getting chained, hanging inside the smokestack of hell for 1,000 years, in the abyss, in the hole, whatever that hole is. That's where Satan is going to end up. Now, what about Israel? Well, Israel is going to become the dominant nation of the millennial kingdom. Remember, Jesus is going to sit on the throne of who? David. He's going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years. He's going to rule as David over all of the earth, but particularly over the Middle East. And you and I are going to assist him in his rule, in his reign over the whole earth. Now, I have all the scriptures up there for you, but I'm not making you turn to them right now. If you wish a copy of my notes, I am prepared to make copies for you. I did not make any this morning, but I'm prepared to do that. And that way you can do your own study and your own research on these various things. Israel is the focal point. And then what's the condition of the nations? What about all the nations of the world? Well, that I'm going to give a little bit of attention to. So turn with me to Zechariah, would you? Remember, Zechariah is next to the last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, you found it, didn't you? All right. I'm going to start at verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the, what's the next word? Earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one. His name is one. In other words, unity. He's going to unify all of the world and all the peoples that have survived the tribulation period. He's going to unify them under his rule and reign. And yet there are going to be little nations all over. There'll be people representing every nation. They will have kings. They will have rulers. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine press. Now, the people who he wrote that to understood where that is. That's describing old Jerusalem. And it says God's going to raise it up. God's going to elevate it. So it becomes the prominent thing. Verse 11, and the people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyeballs shall dissolve in their sockets. Their tongue shall dissolve in their mouth. Now, you that watch this kind of stuff on TV, you have a pretty good picture in your mind of what that's saying. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together. When do you suppose all this happens? Right at the end of the tribulation, in preparation to begin this glorious kingdom. Gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. They'll gather together. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and the mule and the camel and the donkey and all the cattle that will be in those camps. So shall be this plague, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember what I said a little while ago? And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on all of them there will be no rain. Wow. Even during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, there will be rebels. Rebellion. Even when King Jesus is ruling in peace and might and glory over all of the earth, there's going to be rebellers. But it's going to cost them, isn't it? He'll shut off the rain. That'll make him decide to go to Jerusalem, won't it? And it shall be, I read all of that, verse 18, and if the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Sounds to me like he's got a point here, doesn't it? He makes it in verse 16. He makes it in verse 18. He makes it in verse 19. Verse 20 says, in that day, holiness to the Lord. You'll notice that's all capitals in your Bible. Holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judea shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day there shall be no longer a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Changes are a coming, my friend. Now we have looked at what's going to happen. We have looked at the spiritual condition that's going to be a part of this. Holiness to the Lord. It's going to be a spiritual reign that he has over this earth. It's going to be a physical reign that he has over the earth. And it's going to be a moral reign. King Jesus is going to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, what's going to happen to creation? Remember, I said that by the end of the tribulation, this earth is going to be an absolute wreck. Anything that can wipe out 3/4 of the human population in 7 years is going to destroy the major part of the earth as we know it and as we understand it. So what's he going to do? Well, I think we have a clue over in Romans chapter 8. Now, you could go to Isaiah 35, but I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8, okay? Romans chapter 8. We've read over this verse hundreds of times in our life. But I want you to look at it in the light of what we've been discussing this morning. Starting at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's you and me. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. There's a change coming, folks. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. Now, what is hope? Hope is a confidence that God's promises are coming true. And because they haven't yet, we hang on to them in hope. But we have full faith and confidence that what God says he's going to do on this earth, he's going to do it. And you and I get to be a part of all of that. The creation was subjected to futility. You say, well, things are great on this earth right now. Come on, folks. You've ridden around the countryside. From a distance, everything is beautiful. When you get up close, then you see all of the muck and the mire and all of the problems and all the garbage and the trash. And when you turn on your TV or your radio and your newspaper and you read and you learn about all of the terrible things that are going on, including right now a missing submarine with over 40 people in it that they're looking for. When you look close, it's terrible. When you look at it from out there at the space station, 100 and some miles above the earth, man, it's beautiful. Or when you're riding at 32,000 feet in the aircraft and you're looking out the window and look way down there and see, man, you don't see all the problems. But when you look close, we do, don't we? But God's going to change all of this. For we know that the whole creation, excuse me, verse 21, because creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only they, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In man, there's not a day we don't think about, boy, wouldn't it be great to be in heaven and to get our new body and get rid of all these aches and pains and sicknesses and problems and all of the frustrations of life and all of the hospital and doctor visits that we make. Folks, it's almost done. It's almost over for you and me. Any day now, the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise up. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Eternal God, thank you so much for the wonderful expectation that we have of the near future. It won't be long, and we'll be going home. And God, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl in our midst this morning that is not yet truly your child, will you please, by your Holy Spirit, convict them of their sin and of their lostness and of their need of a Savior, and help them right now to cry out and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. I pray, God, that there'll be those that will do that this very moment. And those that listen on the internet, I pray that you too will pay attention. The King is coming. The King is coming. But if you are not his child, you will not be happy. You'll be sent to the lake of fire. God, save these people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.